Well, just to briefly give you an update on what's going on in Africa, I'm coming to you from Kenya today. Raining again today. We've been having lots of rain. Praise God for that. And it's causing the maize and the beans to grow in a very abundant, miraculous way. And so we praise God for that. We have 35 children now in the children's home. They're all in school as of Monday of this week. They're all back in school, public school, most of them, a few in boarding schools, and a few, two or three, in learning disabled schools or special needs schools. And then also at the church, the church compound, we have an acre up there. We're building a potion mill house so that we can help the people of Makunda not have to walk so far to carry their maize to get it milled into flour. They use this maize flour two or three times a day. They make porridge. They make ugali, which is a kind of mush they eat with their vegetables and their meat and their fish. And so we want to have a impact, not only to have a business enterprise for the church, but also to impact the village of Makunda, to bring something positive there to help the people and raise up their standard of living. So these are the things you can pray about, and these are the things that you can participate in, and we appreciate your prayers, your support. If you want to get involved in any of these projects, you are more than welcome. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and you will get contact information for Gather the Outcast Ministry. Well, praise God for that. We're going to be looking at the gifts of healings and miracles today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 9, this is the Apostle Paul speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, great faith, and to another, gifts, plural, of healings by the same Spirit, and to another, verse 10, the working of miracles. And so we have here right together in verse 9 and 10, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles. And both of those, the gifts of healings and miracles, are spoken of in the plural. There's more than one gift of healings. There's more than one working of miracles. And so this is Paul's introduction. And we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts were given by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, Joel 2:28, and said, when my Spirit is poured out on all mankind, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even on my men servants and my maid servants, the Spirit will be poured out. And so this happened then on the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection was the day of Pentecost, and the disciples were there. There was 120 people in the upper room, and they were all in one accord. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 tells us about this. They were all in one accord. They were all waiting for what the Father had promised, which turned out to be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not familiar with that passage of Scripture, go to Acts chapter 2 and start in verse 1. Read through to the end of the chapter, and when this Holy Spirit was poured out, these people, including Peter and John and all the disciples, these people who had been, you might say, meek and scattered at the time of the resurrection, and they had been scattered, even Peter at that point of the resurrection had denied Jesus Christ three times. Three times Peter had denied Jesus as his Lord and Savior, or that he even knew him. And so these people were scattered, but here they are 50 days later. Jesus has told them, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit is poured upon you. So wait in Jerusalem for what the Father has promised to you. And so they were obedient. They waited in anticipation. They waited in prayer. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they were all in one accord. They were of the same mind. They were of the same purpose. They were of the same mindset, And so they were ready when the Holy Spirit then came, and a mighty rushing wind came into that place where they were, a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire rested on them, and they all began to speak in tongues, and they all received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They all received the Holy Spirit to abide with them and to be with them, and then after that they received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Spirit was given just as the prophet Joel prophesied. Well, Peter now is speaking. He's this preacher who has been energized, and more than energized, he's been empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, and miracles and signs and wonders and healings start to happen with Peter, just like it had been with Jesus Christ. And so Peter gets up to speak to those people in attendance on the day of Pentecost. He gets up to speak in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know." And so Peter is talking about the power of Jesus Christ was attested to you by signs, wonders, and miracles. And so then Peter goes on then to tell these people about the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them, about the crucifixion, the resurrection, all these things. And he said, "You people are responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ." And they were pierced to the heart, and they said, "What must we do to be saved?" Acts 2:37. "What must we do to be saved?" In Acts 2:38, he told them, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you too shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, we want to look briefly, just take a glimpse of Jesus Christ's ministry, his healing ministry, besides all the other great things that he did. Going to the cross was his, you might say, crowning achievement, because he submitted to the Father God, even to the point, the Bible tells us, he was obedient, even to the point of shedding his blood on the cross, obedient to the point of submitting to the plan of the Father for the redemption of mankind, for the restoration of all mankind prior to the cross, going back to the time of Adam, after the cross, to our time here in 2021. And so to look at Jesus' healing ministry, I want to take a look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So listed with teaching and preaching is healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And so there is no sickness, there is no disease that Jesus Christ did not encounter. There is no sickness and no disease that he did not heal. And so it is with the Holy Spirit today. I personally have seen the Holy Spirit touch people in ways. They have been healed of blindness, they've been healed of tumors, they've been healed of all kinds of mental issues and torment of the devil, demonic oppression, demonic possession. And I've seen people, we had a lady there at the Tanzania Crusade a month ago, and she was blind. She came, and people were leading her there by her hand. And when God touched her, she came back the next day and said, "The Holy Spirit has given me a healing. I'm starting to see lights, and I'm starting to see images. And I believe God is going to finish the work that he started in her, and she will be healed 100%. Well, in Matthew 10, 1, Jesus showed how he transferred this power to the disciples. "And when he had called his disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits," that is to cast them out, "and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." And so we can ascertain from that Jesus encountered every kind of sickness again, every kind of disease, and he also cast out demons, and he gave that power to the disciples. He said in Matthew 10:8, go into the lost house of Israel. As you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so that's a very important notion, a very important idea for us as well. Just as the disciples who walked with Jesus were given that power freely, he said, freely you have received, freely give. And so it is when Jesus Christ empowers us through the Holy Spirit. It is not your power, so don't hold on to it. It is not your power. Don't sit on it and hoard it. It is not your power. If you see somebody healed that you have prayed for or that you have laid your hands on, and it's going to be very dramatic at times, also to see demons cast out and to see people get an instantaneous healing, which doesn't always happen, but you can see that, but don't get a big head. Don't get prideful about the fact that you think you are the healer or somehow you have healing power in your hands or in your mouth or in your tongue. You don't have that power. It is given to you from Jesus Christ, the healer, and the Holy Spirit, who distributes the gifts so that we have tools to use when we go to the work site. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're just like a carpenter's toolbox, and the gifts, as he spoke in 1 Corinthians 12, you have faith and you have gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You have working of miracles, and of course the other gifts are great word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and there's also prophecy, and there's a gift of tongues, there's a gift of discernment, and the interpretation of tongues. And so all of these gifts are just given to us so that we have tools to use, powerful tools to use when we go to the job site. When we have work to do in the kingdom, God gives us tools so we don't walk up there and we're powerless and the devil then pushes us around and stomps on us. Well, so how are you going to know if you have the gifts of healings? That's a good question. How are you going to know? You have to have the Holy Spirit. If you're not a believer, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to accept Him. You need to get down on your knees, not just so that you can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's not the right attitude. You accept Him and you receive Him first for the remission of your sins, that your sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus, that you receive salvation, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is first and foremost in your desire and should be first and foremost in your mind about coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then after you do that, then you pray and you ask the Lord to give you every good and perfect gift. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In Him, there is no change and no shifting shadow. Well, you may say, I don't need the gift of tongues. I don't need the gift of miracles. I don't need the gift of prophecy. What do I need all that stuff for? I'm doing just fine the way it is. I go to church every Sunday. I haven't killed anybody. I'm not taking some other man's wife. I'm not cheating my partners in business. Maybe you're a pretty good person. But I can tell you today, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to you to empower you so you can do something great for the kingdom. You were created for good works. You were not saved by good works. You were created for good works. You can bring glory to God, and that people will see the good works through you. They will see the good works and the power of God that is working through you. And beloved, that is all that the gifts of the Holy Spirit is about, so that you can bring about healing in people. You can help people get healed. You can help people get rid of the demons that are oppressing them. It's just the tools that are necessary to move the kingdom of God forward and to bring about transformation and deliverance and healing in the lives of other people. Well, when Jesus is giving instructions to the disciples also, the last chapter of Mark, in Mark 16, verse 18, Jesus is telling the disciples about those who receive the Holy Spirit, about those who are saved. He says this will be a hallmark. This will be something that will be noted about them. They will take up serpents, And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so Jesus prophesied over the disciples. He said they are going to receive a power that when they lay hands on people, on the sick people, they will recover. And that is still appropriate. That instruction and that prophecy is still appropriate for us today. Again, when you lay your hands on the sick, they will recover. People can get healed when you lay your hands on them. Again, it's not your power. Again, don't get prideful about it. But unless you lay hands on people, you're never going to know if you have the gifts of healings. Unless you step out in faith and believe that people can be healed when you lay hands on them, then you're never going to know. You're always going to wonder, well, does this apply to me? When I first started to minister back over 20 years ago, I came from a long way back. I'm not going to go into my testimony today, but I came from a long way down, and I came from a very conservative teaching and conservative background where I never saw people lay hands on each other and pray for them to be healed. And so when I first started ministering on my own, I just believed the scripture that I saw here. And I believed that when I laid hands on people, I was going to see some people start to get healed. And it wasn't my power, but I have seen in the 20 years since then, I've laid hands on many, many people. I can't even start to estimate the number, because in Africa, sometimes I lay hands on hundreds, if not thousands, in a crusade in a week or in a 4 or 5 day crusade. And I've seen people get healed of blindness. I've seen people get up out of wheelchairs. I've seen people with tumors, and the tumors have been shed. And I've seen all kinds of amazing healings. And so I can say truly that I have the gifts of healing, not to boast. I'm just saying that I have experienced in my ministry those gifts of healings. I've seen them with my own eyes enough to know that what the scripture says, that when you lay hands on people and they are sick, sometimes, if not many times, they will recover. I'm not saying in every situation, in every instant, because some people, their healing is blocked by their own attitude, by their own bitterness, by their own unforgiveness, and many things can block the healing. But also, the power of God can override their shortcomings. The power of God can overrun and override their shortness of faith or their lack of faith. And so, when you step out in your own faith and you stand in the gap for people, you pray for people, you cast out demons, you will see the very same thing that I have seen. Well, Acts chapter 3, again, here we are with Peter and John. And Peter has, of course, in the final verses of Acts chapter 2, Peter has preached this powerful gospel message, and he has called the Jews into account who crucified Jesus. And he said, this very same Jesus who was attested to you by signs, wonders, and miracles, this very same Jesus, you crucified him and you put him on the cross, and it pierced the heart. This message had so much power. It pierced the hearts of these people. Acts 2:37, it says that people cried out and they said, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? They were pierced to the heart. And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what many of them did that day. 3,000 repented. That day, 3,000 of them had their sins washed away. They were taken to the water. They were baptized. And so Peter then preached that powerful gospel message that was recorded in the second chapter of Acts. Well, here we are in Acts chapter 3, and Peter is still preaching, and he's encountering a crippled person. And here he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 4, fixing his eyes on the man with John, Peter said, look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting to receive money. Well, in Acts 3:6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Well, this was a bold statement, because this person, it tells us in Acts 3:2, this person had been lame from birth, from his mother's womb. He had been lame, and daily they laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms. Well, we see this in Africa, people sitting on the sidewalks everywhere you go, especially in Nairobi and even here in Mumias, people sitting on the sidewalks holding a tin cup, people in wheelchairs, somebody's pushing them down the road, and they are crippled or lame in their feet or lame in their legs or distorted in some way. And so Peter is very bold here in 3:6. He says, what I have for you, it's not money. I can't give you money, but what I have for you, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8, and so he leaped up, stood up, and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Well, isn't that the purpose of healing? All of these people that have been healed, even the ones Jesus healed, they eventually died, so it didn't prevent them from dying, but it brought to the person, the individual that is raised up, it brought restoration and healing so that he can praise God, bring glory to God, speak power and glory to God for God's great name, for his name's sake. And beloved, anytime God gives a healing, that's what it's all about, because God created man to worship him. God created man for fellowship, and God created man to bring glory and honor to him, that other people can see the working of God through that person's life. Well, he leaped up, and he walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was the same man who sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Well, so this becomes another teaching time. This becomes another testimony time for Peter. And he wraps up this passage of scripture. He wraps up this story. And he says in verse 16, and through Jesus' name, through faith in his name, he has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Jesus has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. He's now taking them back to the crucifixion, back to the persecution. And he says here in verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Well, beloved, it is God's will that every single person come to know the Lord. It is God's will that every person repent, just as Jesus asked people to repent, and John the Baptist asked people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Even so, this very day, the kingdom of God is at hand, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit are convicting you of sin. Some of you out there don't know Jesus, and you have sin in your life that's taking you down, that's dragging you down, that's causing you pain and sorrow and torment. I tell you today, God can redeem you. God can give you restoration. God can give you healing. God can take you a place where the times of refreshing can come into your life, and you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you need healed today, beloved, you can seek Jesus, seek the healer, and you will be healed. Repent and be baptized, and your sins can be washed away, and all of these things can be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things can be added unto you today. Healing is for us today. Healing is for you today. Healing is for me today. Beloved, come to Jesus. Come to him. Today is the day of salvation. If you make a decision today, let me know. Pure Prairie at Hotmail. PurePrairie@Hotmail.com. we will rejoice with you. We'll get you some literature, and you can start to study and know Jesus as your Lord and walk with him and walk with the Holy Spirit all the rest of the days of your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for the people listening here today. We thank the Lord for you. We invite you to partner with this ministry. Again, we appreciate your prayers and support. We love to hear from you. We have projects going, and just to pay for the radio airtime, it takes money. It takes money to preach the gospel and minister here in Africa. And so we'd love to have you help us. We'd love to have you support us. Stay tuned for contact information. Let us hear from you today. We thank you, and we praise the Lord for this message. Tune in again next week. God bless you. Have a great week.